Next on BYUSN, the four-game win streak comes to an end at the hands of Arizona. What was the biggest factor in the loss for men's basketball, and does it concern us moving forward? BYU head coach Kevin Young discusses where he thinks things went wrong in the loss and the team's mindset as they look to bounce back on the road this weekend.
It's National Signing Day for BYU football. Hey, we'll introduce the latest signees, take a look at the Cougars signing class, how did it end up? And head coach Kalani Sitake will join us in studio to discuss the signing class and his thoughts on the schedule, including playing Utah in October.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Wednesday, February 5th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who showed up with a proper doctor's note this morning, Jerem Jordan.
It was a late one, man. 9 p.m. local tip. We got off the air on the post game at like 12:12, so we are sleepy. If we fall asleep at the wheel today, you'll know why. Men's basketball preemptively sent this out yesterday saying, we've got a doctor's note for you. So, dear boss, teacher, parent, please excuse Spencer Linton from class, work, duty, other today. After evaluating them following the recent BYU basketball game, they are experiencing strained vocal cords from cheering, shouting, creative referee feedback. That's fun. Mm-hmm. Temporary hearing loss caused by exposure to the rock student section, decibel levels, extreme fatigue from late night excitement. It's recommended that they rest and recover for the next 24 to 48 hours. Further work should be avoided to ensure a full recovery. Kevin Young's signature there, which is Kevin Young a doctor? Because that's giving me doctor's signature vibes.
I agree with everything in that note except for the creative verbiage for the refs last night. There were a few
creative
instances
referee feedback.
The feedback was not super creative. It was just angry.
It was just angry.
Just angry and pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't the issue, BYU. Why BYU lost?
No. Yeah. No, as much as people want to make it about that, that was the case. Yeah. All right, everyone. Hope you're awake to rise and shout with us. Let's get to what's trending.
Tonight, the BYU Cougars putting a four-game Big 12 win streak on the line. And missed it on the English, but a putback hammer by Kayla Keita. Left corner, step back three for the lead. Got it! The shot clock off. Yegor doesn't know. Yegor doesn't care. Yegor drives and scores. Wildcats leading BYU. 85-74 will be your final score.
For the first time in the last five games, BYU does not win. The four-game win streak, first ever in Big 12 play for the Cougars, comes to an end thanks to a fantastic effort from Arizona, 85-74. After the game, BYU head coach Kevin Young spoke specifically about what he felt the difference in the game was last night.
Defense. You know, there was... You know, we try. They're a tough offensive team to stop. I mean, they run good stuff, and they got really good players. And, you know, we were trying this, trying that. We tried to go to a little switching scheme, and they ended up hurting us on it. That was the difference in the game.
Very quick answer from Kevin Young.
We could have played it slower, then it would have lasted longer.
It was about the defense, in his opinion. And, yes, Arizona is relentless and so good off pick and roll and so good at just finding ways to get into the paint and create different shot opportunities. They were really, really good. But Jerem, do you, after listening to Kevin Young's assessment there, agree? Or do you think something else was the number one factor in BYU's loss to Arizona?
It was the refs! No. Number one, BYU's poor shooting, especially the last 6 minutes. It's a back-and-forth game. For the first 34 minutes, this is a tight game. 11 lead changes. Like, this was competitive. Shooting was poor for BYU in the end. Mm-hmm. Arizona shot a 175 combined. Field goal, three-point free throw. BYU shot a 128. You're going to lose. 2 of 12 the last 6 minutes. BYU made two kind of garbage buckets late. They missed 9 in a row. The game got away from them. BYU loses. Caleb Love, Jaden Bradley were awesome. Got in the paint, got to the line. Bradley 8-for-8 from the line. Love did his thing, 6 of 16, made 4 threes. That was tough. BYU didn't shoot it well. BYU shot 42% from the field, 29% from 3. Just the second loss all year, by the way, and first in regulation when BYU made 10 threes but lost. So, yeah, 29% not good enough. If they're 13 of 34 instead of 10, perhaps they're in it at the end. Number two, rebounding. BYU out-rebounded by 15.
Yeah.
Didn't hurt BYU in the second chance points. BYU was actually plus 6.
Yeah.
But just possessions and extra shots, you know, it hurt BYU a little bit. There. Not in second chance points, but just didn't help, right? So it was tough. I liked the aggressiveness of the point guards. It was fun to see Dallin Hall get into double figures. He had scored 10 points the last five games. He scores 11 in this. He was getting to the rim, which was great.
Six assists as well.
Right? That was one of his better games. But he and Yegor, I think, felt like they needed to because BYU wasn't shooting well. Somebody's got to do something. So these two guys put it on their backs, and that was good. BYU's going to need Dallin Hall to play like this to win a big game like Kansas or Iowa State or avoid what we're going to talk about in a minute, which is an unexpected loss perhaps. So, yeah, if BYU doesn't miss nine shots in a row in the last 6 minutes, perhaps they're in it a little more. But also BYU had a tough time guarding Arizona, staying in front of them. They were getting in the paint rather easily. But yeah. So were BYU's point guards.
Yeah, I think that's what Kevin Young is talking about, is keeping Arizona out of the paint, keeping the defensive shell tight. That's some of their common verbiage, like, keep the shell tight. And it just wasn't there. In fact, 8 minutes into the game, Will Voigt said, you guys, I don't think we've bought into the game plan yet. Like, we know what to do. Buy into the game plan. So there were some real frustrations, even when BYU was playing okay early in the game. But late, you just saw some breakdowns there. And I also understand how that impacts what BYU wants to do on offense, because defensive stops are required for BYU to get out, get a rebound, and run with pace. They want to play with pace. But when Arizona is scoring in the paint, it's inbound the basketball. And then they're
run on a make,
then
too.
They're pressuring BYU. BYU had a real problem in their half-court sets late in the game. Credit Arizona. They played fantastic defense in those scenarios. And the pressure's just mounting. And Arizona got to the free throw line late a lot, too. They're just making free throws.
Yeah.
They did not miss very many free throws.
15 of 17.
Which we know that they're a good free throw shooting team. They're super efficient there as well from the stripe. So when that pressure mounts, you just kind of start to press, and you can get a little bit more cavalier on defense and be physical when that lead is starting to extend. It's just a tough mental ordeal for BYU to overcome there. So when Coach Young says it was defense, yeah, it starts there. You stop Arizona, you get rebounds, you're able to run with pace and put some pressure on them, get the crowd into the game.
He didn't say shooting.
He did not bring it up. He went right to defense.
He thinks that if they had played better defense, then maybe they get better offense.
Correct.
Which is interesting.
Correct.
Yeah.
Like, then BYU can play with pace. It's hard not to point to 2 of 12 down the stretch, though. And it's a Richie Saunders bucket and then a Yegor Deming three at the buzzer.
Yeah, I've almost
game is over.
They missed nine in a row and didn't score for a long time.
BYU didn't shoot the three as well as they usually do on their home floor. They had been lights out. They were shooting 47% over their four-game win streak. In fact, a little better than that. 10 for 33 last night. Not great.
34.
So 10 for 34. Okay, so
no bueno.
It's similar in some ways. It felt a little bit like the Texas Tech game where BYU just didn't shoot it well on their home floor. But that is elite level.
I've seen enough missed threes.
BYU was playing against, right? Like, Texas Tech, really good team. Arizona, really good team. Both those teams are going to compete for a regular season championship.
They are now.
Listen, I talked about it on the show yesterday. I was like, yeah, I can buy into the whole idea of BYU being a favorite, and it went to 3.5 points before the game tipped off. And I thought, okay, clearly people are buying into heavy that BYU is going to be good on their home floor. Arizona was way better than I thought they would be in that environment. They just answered.
Yeah.
Every time BYU had a little bit of momentum, Arizona had a big three from Caleb Love or some Bradley or somebody else. Like, someone was hitting a big shot to just silence the crowd immediately. Like, that's what elite level teams do. We talked about Gonzaga doing that for years when BYU would have a big game with him in the Marriott Center and fall short. It was like they had that capability.
Yeah, Tommy Lloyd, Gonzaga, again. BYU's largest lead was 4, by the way. Largest run was 8-0. So they never had a kill shot, as they say, a 10-0 run. Largest lead was 4. Largest lead was 15 for Arizona. BYU was going to have to play a really good game to beat this Arizona team. Nobody in the country has more wins than the Wildcats since December 18th. They have 12 wins, 12-1. Their losses to start the year, they had 5 early losses. They were 4-5.
Yeah.
Were quad one losses.
Yeah.
Like, they were quality opponents. This is a team that's kind of figured some things out. They're looking really good. They're tied for first in the Big 12. Like, this would have been an awesome win, no doubt. But BYU didn't shoot well enough. They didn't defend well enough to win this game.
I talked to Dave Rose after the game. He and Cheryl were in the building. Good to have royalty on the court.
By the way, deep blue coming out on Dave. That is,
cannot wait for that.
We hear it's really good.
Yes.
We're
very much looking forward to that. They were up from St. George in their retirement home down there to watch BYU, and he jokingly said, hey, are you going to be okay tomorrow? Like, is this, like, you going to be able to do your job tomorrow? Like, yeah, yeah, we're good. We got a job to do. We're okay. But he pointed out, he said, Tommy's got his guys so locked in because of all of the crap that they went through early in the season. He's like, that team is unified. They had this galvanizing moment early in the season when everybody stopped believing in them. And he's like, there's real power in that. And so Dave knows Tommy well. They're friends.
Yeah.
And so he was quick to point
Tommy
out.
Tommy was, like, at Gonzaga for like 20 years.
You know, the adversity that they've gone through, it's made them better. And then, in turn, you look at BYU, and they've gone through some similar experiences where, man, it was rough. But, like, again, these galvanizing moments when you have that adversity to make you better. So BYU is experiencing that to a degree, not quite at the level of Arizona. But I thought that was an interesting point from Dave Rose.
Yeah, it's brought them together. Okay, so does the loss to Arizona concern you at all moving forward?
No, not at this point.
What? Why not?
If it turns into two losses and BYU has tough loss hangover going on the road and they lose at Cincinnati, then it's like, okay, shoot. Well, now maybe they're back in a little bit of a mental funk, and now you have to go play at West Virginia. I know West Virginia doesn't have Tucker DeVries.
They have him for a while.
He's out for the season.
They beat Kansas without him.
Significant loss, exactly. Like, they're still capable, and they're still really good on their home floor.
And they also lost to Arizona State at home, so they're capable of that, too.
It just cannot turn into back-to-back losses. Yeah. BYU needs to flush this thing, learn what they learned from this game, go win at Cincinnati, just split the road trip. Stay above 500, Jerem. That, for me, is like the thing that BYU absolutely has to do. So if they lose to Cincinnati, then you start to worry if they're in a little bit of a mental funk again. And you hope not. You hope that they've learned things in the past and that they can just compartmentalize this one loss, go and take care of business against Cincinnati team, and get back to two games over 500. Are you concerned?
Bill Belichick said it best. We're on to Cincinnati.
Yeah, yeah.
We are on to Cincinnati. If they stumble, now it's an issue. But yesterday I made the point, I felt like, hey, BYU needs a signature win to really stamp the resume with, either Arizona, Kansas, or Iowa State. You still have Kansas in 13 days. You still have Iowa State near the end of the year where, hey, if Kansas State won at Hilton, why can't BYU, right? It's a tough place to play, but Iowa State going through something. They have some injuries and whatnot. Sean Fardam had an interesting point. He countered it with the following thought yesterday on the show.
We focus too much on, well, they need another signature win. Here's what they need. They need to not have a bad loss as much as they need that big win.
It's interesting. Now, BYU's breaking news, BYU's not in the West Coast Conference. So they're not going to have this quad four game sitting there of a team in the 300s.
Tender that mercies.
Lose to, right? Oh, thank you. you have games that you're – what I think Sean means by bad loss, because there's not like a lot of quad threes sitting there. It's a lot of quad one and two, is unexpected.
Yes.
So let's look at the highest remaining KenPom win percentage games. 84% Utah to finish the regular season. Should win that. 77% against Kansas State.
Kansas State getting better.
Should win that. Still. At West Virginia is 70% chance to win, which is a little surprising. It's only 53% at Arizona State, 51% at Cincinnati. That's the home game.
Oh, excuse I was going to say, I'm
that,
sorry, what?
That
the
felt
road,
weird.
The that, road game at West Virginia is 70%?
Okay. No, that's the home game. So there are 9 regular season games remaining. Can BYU win 4 of those 5?
10-10.
To go 10-10?
10-10.
Absolutely!
Yes.
And 3 of those 5 are at home. So at Cincinnati is there. I don't even know if BYU has to win at West Virginia. Like, if BYU splits the at Cincy West Virginia,
yes,
game, I'm actually okay with that.
That's what I just said. Just split it.
I don't need 2 wins, although we'd take it. But you can't have 2 losses. Then you have to win at Arizona State. Like, you don't expect to win at Iowa State or at Arizona. Those are crazy. BYU could, though. Kansas at home, that'd be nice. That's similar to last night, right? Good opponent, big game. Baylor was just a notch below those. That's BYU's best win. So it's all good. BYU didn't need that. They didn't need to have it. But in terms of the quote-unquote bad loss, you don't want to lose to Utah, Kansas State, or West Virginia at home. Those would be unexpected.
Bad losses. Only 3.
Only 3. Like, at Arizona State, would that be a bad loss?
It's a quad one game.
In league, it looks a little weird given Arizona State's record. At Cincinnati, that would be weird given their record. But these are quality teams. BYU beat Cincinnati by 28. Yet, we respect the Bearcats to the point where we're like, that's a tough road
game.
They
should. Yeah.
I thought 28 was an anomaly. I thought like a 12-point win at home would have been the average.
BYU only made 11 threes in the second half in that game.
They were unbelievable.
It was crazy.
Yeah. So, Arizona, not going to be that big of a loss unless, like you say, it leads to sort of this string of unexpected losses.
Jerem, the path to 10 wins is as simple as splitting this road trip and then winning the three games that you pointed out at home that would be bad losses.
I dare say 11's up for grabs.
Yes.
Wild.
Because you can maybe go to Arizona State, and then that becomes a bonus if you win that game. Yep. Or if you shock somebody at home, like Kansas, right? Yep. Then 11 is still in play, but the road to 10 is split this road trip and win the three games at home that you are heavy favorite in.
And if there's no shocking result, win or loss, you're always in the tourney.
They're
that makes sense?
They'll be in the tournament if you win 10 conference
Sean's
games.
Sean's point's good. You don't need a signature win, per se. You just need to avoid these unexpected, is how I interpret that loss.
Yeah. Okay. Our question of the day, based on this very conversation, what will affect BYU's resume more?
This is affect with an A, by
signature
the way.
Wins? We got it right.
Yeah.
Okay, we're in
not
on the grammar.
E with an A.
Signature wins or avoiding bad losses. Now, what would a signature win be? We should point that out as well.
Kansas, Iowa State.
At Iowa State, at Arizona.
At Arizona.
Right? Those are the three.
Those are
the
three left.
Whoa, wins that BYU has available still on the schedule.
And the reason I brought that up is because last year's resume was punctuated by the win at Kansas. That really said, hey, BYU's legit. So I don't know that BYU needs that. Let's just make the tourney and win a game. That's where we're at.
At @YegorDemian_fan on X answers.
Nice.
Avoiding bad losses. Love when Sean Farnham is on the show because he clears up some blue goggle biases.
Hey. What'd you say?
A loss to a top 10 net Arizona is far less detrimental than a loss at home to Utah. Hypothetically speaking, of course. Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Why are we talking about losing to Utah?
I don't know.
Today is National Signing Day for football, so let's take a look at the four new signees that BYU announced this morning, starting with four-star running back / linebacker McKay Madsen. They're recruiting him as a running back, 6'2", 235. This dude is jacked. Clovis, California, Clovis North High School. This is a big deal. He revealed that he's going to BYU before his mission on national TV, on NBC, in the Navy All-American Bowl in San Antonio. So BYU won not once but twice in the Alamo Dome. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Beat out UCLA and Oregon.
How about that?
At the end. This dude is 6'2", 235. I don't want to make the unfair comparison. I'm just going to say physically.
Go there, Jerem.
Looking like Luke Staley.
Yes.
Okay.
Take it there.
Yep. In high school, rush room with 3,000 yards, 47 touchdowns. One of the best discus and shot put throwers in the country.
How about that?
So I don't know if like track and field throwing is in the mix for him later. Dad played football at Stanford, heavily recruited. Going to go on a mission first. This was a massive ad in this February class.
They expect McKay Madsen to be, eventually, a replacement for L.J. Martin. Okay? Similar in some ways to L.J., but they say he's faster than L.J., okay? But not quite as fast as Luke Staley was. So that was the one thing. Like
Luke was a burner.
Oh, my goodness.
Like
surprisingly fast.
Yes. Luke and Taysom and Steve are your, like, fast guys with knee braces.
Yes. He's a guy that could play both ways. Legitimately, like the coaching staff's like, we could play him at linebacker and running back if we wanted to.
We'll see. Football
player.
We'll see if
they brought him in as
thing.
A running back.
Yeah. Travis Hunter? Question mark? No, that's not what we're saying.
Huge deal to beat out Oregon head to head in recruiting.
Big deal getting this kid. Yeah, absolutely. McKay Madsen going on a mish, and then he'll be called to serve at LaBelle Edwards Stadium after that.
Let's keep it rolling. The second signee that we are profiling today in this latter signing day in
these
February.
These days.
This is weird, right? The big one happens in December. Now it used to be huge
February. Oh, yeah, the February one.
Jordan Chris, cornerback.
Yes.
6'2", 165 pounds out of Seguin, Texas. Speed notable, 10.8 100-meter track guy. Long and athletic compared to a guy on the roster right now like Trey Alexander. Not as polished as Trey, per se, but that
will
type
be soon.
Of defender. This is looking at what BYU is right now in the defensive backfield. This might be a red shirt and develop. We'll see. I mean, we're not taking anything off the table right now. But
what does red shirt mean? You could play four games in a bowl game. You could be a contributor. You know
what
I mean?
Play, yes.
Like, you know, who knows? Who knows? Maybe Jordan Chris comes in and he's fantastic and he's in the two deep.
Three-star defensive back allowed zero touchdowns at corner as a senior in 2024.
You can't have negative, so that's
come on.
Perfect number. Jacob Nye, next up, tight end 6'4", 235 from Melissa, Texas. Melissa High School, that's North Dallas area. Played a lot of split out wide receiver, good blocker, hopefully like an Isaac Rex, Ethan Erickson type. 44 grabs for 734 and 13 touchdowns in Tejas, where football is a religion. So Jacob Nye, another tight end. I've never been concerned about the amount of good tight ends for BYU. Jacob Nye adds to that.
Only 17 years old, but when I heard he kind of reminds me of Dallin Hulker, I was like, okay, let's go.
I like that a lot. No relation to Bill that we know of, but excited about Jacob's ability to be a kind of two-way tight end,
yeah.
Catch and block.
He can block well.
Which is awesome.
Okay. Fourth athlete to profile, Landon Goff, safety, 6'3", 185 pounds, local product to BYU out of nearby Highland, Utah, went to Lone Peak High School, the Lone Peak Pipeline, another three-star athlete according to 24/7 Sports. He was named the Deseret News 6A All-State first team as a defensive back in 2024. Jeremy, this is a guy that Jay Hill has pinpointed as his prototypical long, rangy, fast, versatile safety. That was the number one thing I took away from the conversation with the staff is Jay Hill sees what he likes, and he goes and gets what he likes, and he likes Landon Goff. He's got a sister that runs track at BYU, so we've got some family.
Who doesn't have a family member that does track at BYU?
Likely a mission first guy.
Yeah.
He punted at one point, too. So
he knew it all.
He has that capability.
Fessy Satake
well.
Should appreciate that. He did that at Southern Utah, too. That's funny. Okay, in addition to the four that we've just announced, BYU had eight in its transfer portal signing class. You know about Keanu Tanavasa, Andrew Gentry. They've been on the program from Utah and Michigan, big-time pickups. Also, Tausili Akana from Texas, D-lineman, local kid coming back home. Hunter Clegg, who signed with Utah before his mission, comes back, signs with BYU. Also, Carson Ryan's going to be a senior tight end from Utah mm-hmm. that comes in. Anisi Purcell, a defensive lineman from Southern Utah. Kyle Safarchuk from Southern Utah on the O-line, a guard as well. And Garrison Grimes, this is the son of Jeff Grimes, is coming from Baylor to be the long snapper. So he's coming back. He went to American Fork High School while Jeff was here.
Arc.
He is back, baby. He played against BYU a couple of times. And so those are the eight pickups in the portal. I think many, if not all of those guys, are going to factor in prominently.
Immediate impact players.
I see at least five, if not six, starters
yes.
among those eight. You bring them in because you know they yeah. can play.
Garrison Grimes is needed right now.
He
they
is
need
the long
him
snapper.
Now.
Yes.
They have 1 year with him. It's like you fill an immediate
need. Yes. Tanavasa is going to start at one of those two D-tackle spots. Andrew Gentry is either your left or right tackle coming off the Liz Frank. Yeah. And then Akana and Clegg on the D-line with Logan Lotui coming back.
Oh,
I love
that news. Logan,
yes,
bring it on back.
That was great.
That picture of Carson Ryan, by the way, we learned yesterday he's shaved his beard. His hair is much shorter. And they said it was, quote unquote, shocking. Shocking
he's
difference.
He's a new man.
All right, let's look big picture now. With the 2025 signing class now officially complete, here is where 24/7 Sports has BYU's recruiting class ranked. Okay? Composite average 86.15. Why is that notable? Because in the modern era, that is the highest composite grade BYU football has ever received. They've been high 85s before, Jeremy. They're yeah. into the 86 for the first time.
That's fantastic that the recruits are getting better. BYU's signing guys who have more skill are ready to play. Because BYU is not trying to just be in the Big 12. They're trying to compete for championships, as we saw last year.
And again, it's not like an overhaul. Just the right pieces
right.
in the transfer
continuity,
portal. Yes.
Plug in guys that fit, develop.
Build your core and develop.
Win NFL.
Yes.
It's all kind of working right now, which is great. Women's basketball takes on UCF tonight. No word if Kay Bakeda is going to be in the handshake line after. 9 Eastern on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio. Kristen and Spence on the call.
He'll be there to flash an L after BYU wins another game against
that
UCF.
That was funny. I do admit it.
After the break, I go one-on-one with BYU head basketball coach Kevin Young. Where it went wrong against Arizona and what he's telling his guys before Cincinnati. This is BYU SN.
We were right there. You know, we're a resilient club. You know, we took three on the chin in a row, and nobody batted an eye. Sun still came up the next day, and we got back to work.
You know, that's a club that's been good for a long time.
Our team's not, we're not fazed by coming up short against a good basketball team.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton. That is Jerem Jordan. We discussed the BYU basketball loss to Arizona last night. Just went through the football recruits and signees for February. Now it's back to basketball and my one-on-one with head coach Kevin Young, where he feels like BYU should have been better last night and what he told his guys to do today to get ready for a critical road trip. Here's Kevin Young on BYU Sports Nation.
Coach, as you assess the game, I know you're only about 10 minutes post-final buzzer. What do you feel like was the difference in the outcome tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I just watched it back there on the film, the defense. You know, there was, you know, we tried. They're a tough offensive team to stop. I mean, they run good stuff, and they got really good players. And, you know, we were trying this, trying that. We tried to go to a little switching scheme, and they ended up hurting us on it. That was the difference in the game.
What do you feel like created some problems for your offense late in the game?
Slowed down. They shot 14 free throws in the second half. You know, we were hurting them a lot with our pace and transition, but game slowed down, came a little bit more of a rock fight, and we had a hard time executing. Not executing. We just had a hard time getting shots in the half court, and it was really because of our defense that we couldn't get stops, clean stops in terms of, like, not putting them on the line. And then, you know, we were taken out of the net a lot as well.
I mean, frankly, for 33, 34 minutes of this game, you had an answer for everything they put out, and it was very, very back and forth. What do you take from this positively to try and get ready for a critical road trip that's coming up?
Yeah, I mean, we're a confident group. You know, we've beaten some good teams now at this point, both at home and on the road. You know, I think we've proven that we can play with most of the top teams in the country. I think we're one of the top, you know, I think we're a top 25 team. You know, we have work to do to continue to prove it. But, you know, our team's not, we're not fazed by coming up short against a good basketball team. You know, we're a confident group, and I'm excited about the trajectory that our group's on.
Arizona, to their credit, they run a pick-and-roll masterclass. It's hard to defend. So how do you make adjustments for that specifically? Because you know you'll get them again and just moving forward.
We'll have to study the film a lot more to have a, you know, an answer for that. But I think it's not so much the pick and rolls. It's just like they just never stop. You know, it's hard to stall them out. You know, Tommy does a good job of really having them continue to just play in their kind of, you know, pick and roll motion. You know, a lot of teams stall out after one or two actions. They kind of keep going, and you know, they're physical. You know, they're ducking you in on the weak side and all this kind of stuff. And by the way, have good players. And so they're a good team for a reason.
I think I heard you say rebound at least 37 times tonight for good reason. How do you get better in that category against a team like that?
I mean, we were talking about a lot. I mean, honestly, like in retrospect, like I think it's definitely a point of emphasis. It's not why we lost the game. You know, we had 18 second chance points. They had 12. So it was our pick and roll coverages. You know, if I had to coach the game over again, we would have tried to, you know, dial in those details a little bit better. And so that's something that we'll have to have a hard look at before we go down to Tucson in a couple weeks.
Dallin Hall and Yegor Demian both had success getting to the rim tonight. What created for that opportunity for both of your point guards?
I think mindset. I mean, we've been all over those guys about being aggressive, you know, trying to get downhill. I think Dallin's been on his heels a little bit this year. Tonight was good to see him, you know, putting pressure on the rim. You know, want Yegor to be a bit more aggressive. I thought he took a couple threes that he kind of forced a little bit early, but I love it when he's attacking downhill. He's, you know, he can finish. So we just got to, you know, continue to have those guys be aggressive.
11 games in, a little bit through the halfway point of Big 12 play. Where do you feel like your team has progressed and grown the most in those 11 conference games?
I mean, I think just confidence-wise, I think we're, you know, we believe in ourselves more than we did to start the year. And we have a good basketball team that can make it hard for anyone on a given night. You know, I think our guys are starting to see that and starting to believe that a little bit more. You know, I think offensively, I think our style of play is pretty cemented in terms of how we like to play. And on the defensive end, you know, I do think our identity has been sound defensively. You know, there's obviously nuances that we need to get better at, but I just think team identity on both ends of the floor has really kind of come together.
If you were to sum up the message you just gave to your team, and I'm sure you've already touched on some of it, but what did you tell your guys after this loss?
Take a day off tomorrow, do something outside of basketball that you like, and get ready for a very important road trip.
Fair enough. Richie Saunders' dad just told me that they're going to put in some rain gutters and dig some ditches. So
that's what gets you going, man, whatever it is. Let's get ready for a big trip. And, I mean, you know, just keeping the momentum. You know, again, good team. Obviously, we wanted to win the basketball game. But, I'm not a type of dude who just gets down. It's like, all right, let's find a solution, move on, get the next one. And that's how you're able to kind of move past, you know, difficult situations, which we've done. You know, we dropped three in a row and no one was crying. You know, woke up the next day, sun still came out, and you move on. And so, you know, we got to regroup, which we've been good at doing. You know, we've got a great opportunity on a trip to go out and stack up some more road wins, and our group's ready to go do that.
We mentioned Yegor and Dallin specifically, and they had some good moments tonight, as you talked about. Who else do you feel like is showing you some positive things, not just tonight, but during the four-game win streak that preceded the loss tonight?
I think Kay was taking strides. You know, he's really a grown a lot on both ends of the floor, you know, multiple efforts. He's, you know, just playing with an incredible motor, I think, on both ends of the floor. You know, you can almost take Richie for granted because he shows up, and Trevin too. You know, Mawut's kind of coming to his own. I think he can go down the list. You know, Dawson comes in and does his job. And so it's just a matter of, you know, like most teams, you got to be able to put all that together. Each guy has to pull their weight every night, you know. And so when you're not able to be clicking on all cylinders and things have to go your way, and tonight, they, you know, we fell short there.
We'll finish with this because you brought it up. What do you do to kind of reset before you go on a road trip like this?
You know, hang out with my family, hang out with my wife a little bit. You know, I may go do a cold plunge in the Provo River to get my mind, body, and soul right. And, you know, but in all seriousness, I think that's a big part of getting through a season. You know, I learned that in the NBA. You know, this thing's a grind. This is as much of a grind as the NBA, even though there's less games because you're still practicing all the time. But I'm a big believer in, you know, mental health, mental clarity. For me, I need that so I can be at my best. And I'm just excited about, you know, licking our wounds and getting ready to go right some of these wrongs.
Coach, good luck with the cold plunge and on the road trip. We appreciate the time as always.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Kevin Young after the game last night with Spencer. Check out BYU Basketball with Kevin Young tomorrow night, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app.
Still on the way. BYU wins the NIT.
Huh?
And Andy Reid, Big Red, gives an update on his coaching future. Headlines on the way. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
The show rolls on from Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's get to your BYU Sports Nation headlines.
Today's National Football Signing Day. The Cougars announced the signing of four players. McKay Madsen, four-star running back from Clovis, California. Jordan Chris, three-star cornerback from Arlington, Texas. Jacob Nye, three-star tight end from Melissa, Texas. And Landon Goff, three-star safety from Highland, Utah. BYU's recruiting class has a composite average of 86.15, according to 24/7 Sports, the highest in program history. Klein Stock will join us in the next segment to break it all down.
BYU men's basketball and their four-game win streak snapped last night in an 11-point home loss to 20th-ranked Arizona. The Cougars led 61-60 halfway through the second half, but then were outscored 25-13 over the final 10 minutes and change. With the setback, BYU drops to 15-7 overall. They're 6-5 in Big 12 play. Up next, Cougars at Cincinnati. Big road contest on Saturday.
Big 12 scoreboard from last night. Houston beat Oklahoma State 72-63. Number 13, Texas Tech beat Baylor by 14. Kansas State beat Arizona State by 1. Games tonight, Cincinnati at UCF, Colorado at Utah, that old Pac-12 rivalry. West Virginia at TCU. Another Big 12 news, West Virginia's Tucker DeVries out for the season with shoulder surgery.
On to some pro football, specifically the Kansas City Chiefs and their head coach, Andy Reid, our guy, announcing yesterday that he will return as the Chiefs head coach again next season. Win or lose in the Super Bowl. He's won 301 games as an NFL head coach, fourth most in NFL history. Reid and the Chiefs going for a fourth Super Bowl win this Sunday against the Eagles, trying to become the first team to ever three-peat.
A moment ago, Cincinnati Bearcats football tweeted out a picture of Andy Reid in a Bearcats hat talking about the Bearcats that have been on his team. I have an issue with this. I don't like seeing him in a Bearcat hat.
Oh, it's because of the Travis Kelce connection.
Yeah, and others, apparently. Women's basketball, 6-8 two-game win streak in Big 12 play as they take on UCF tonight. Cougars 2-8 in league, Knights 1-9. Watch or listen on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio at 9 Eastern time tonight.
Men's golf won the Arizona NIT in Tucson yesterday.
NIT champ.
Incredible NIT performance champ. Against some high-level elite teams. They carted the lowest 54-hole team score to par of the 21st century. They were 50 under par combined.
Hey, way to go, boys.
Simon Kwan leading the way for the Cougars, who took second overall individually, shooting 13 under. Kwan joined by teammates Peter Kim, Cole Ponich, and Kevin Wu, all finishing in the top eight.
Very nice. And women's golf took fifth at the FAU Paradise Invitational in Boca Raton, Florida yesterday. MJ Berrigan, Lily McCauley each finished tied for 21st at even par to lead BYU.
After the break, BYU football head coach Kalani Sitake in studio to discuss National Signing Day, the February version, and his entire 2025 signing class, an historic one. This is BYU Sports Nation.
But we're not here to really prove people wrong. We're here to prove ourselves right. This is a good group of young men that just happen to play really good football, too. With this class that we're bringing in, I think we can do some really, really positive and cool things.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation live from Studio B. As we look again at the numbers from the 2025 BYU football recruiting class, 22 signees, including one four-star recruit, 19 three-star recruits, and that number on the bottom of your screen is notable and historic. 86.15 composite average, according to 24/7 Sports, highest in program history. And on that note, we welcome in the head coach of BYU football, Kalani Sitake. Coach, congratulations on an outstanding historic signing class.
Thanks, guys. It's been going really nicely for us, and I'm just really proud of our coaches, our players, you know, on the team right now. So I think they did a great job hosting these young men on the trips, representing themselves the right way, and then I think we got some really good young men to join our team and will help us replace the great talent that we lost. But I think we have a great nucleus of a team and leadership right now, and these guys will complement our program really well.
Is recruiting more fun coming off 11-2?
I love recruiting no matter what, but yeah, I think the if you look at the momentum of the recruiting we've had, I would think since 2020, I think we're gaining more and more momentum. Obviously, the you know, the partnership in the Big 12 has a big part in that, but I think for more than anything is the coaches recognizing it and the guys are able to, you know, you got to get in these recruiting battles, and I think that's just us staying in it. You never know, guys go on missions, come back, and things change too, just as we saw with guys like Hunter Clegg and others. So, I think for us it's just to be open and to be open to anybody that wants to come here for the right reasons, and then making sure that I think in recruiting there's so much excitement about the new toys that are coming in that you got to remember you have a great group of young men on the team currently right now, and they're the ones that keep this thing going and the momentum going.
Coach, what's your typical recruiting pitch to, let's say, a BYU recruit that's coming out of high school? I mean, what are those early conversations like when you're trying to find out if BYU is the right fit for them and if they're going to work in the culture that you've worked hard to establish?
Well, I think the easiest way to see if they're a good fit is talking to the parents and the coaches. And I think the parents are the main key. I think when you take a bunch of older men and you have them talking to teenagers, anything could happen in those conversations and promising them things and playing off of their dreams. I think when you talk to the parents, there's really not much hiding it. And you can kind of see the way the young man was raised and if it fits our program, fits what we're trying to, the vision, if they're in alignment with what we're trying to get done as a program on the field and also off the field. Things can change and our job is to give them the right information and see if this fits for them. For some it doesn't, and you know, we with academics and everything that we're committed to doing here at BYU, it kind of filters it out a little bit for you already, but there's I wouldn't have it any other way. Those are competitive advantages for us. I think those, as long as we keep looking at those as strengths, I think we'll be in a really good place.
Okay, we want to walk through the four signees today and then the eight transfers. So brief comments perhaps on everybody, but McKay Madsen, big time signee.
Oh, man,
this running back.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like doing a lot of comparisons, but this guy's got it, and we're playing him at running back first, and I think that's pretty much all that I want him to play is running back. When you talk to the defensive coaches, it becomes an argument in the staff room because they want him to play defense, and he could do that too, but I think when you have the vision and the ability to run people over, the explosiveness, this guy's a world-class thrower too. So yeah. he's undersized for the throwing in the throwing world, which means that he's got the explosiveness and the power of big O linemen and D linemen types. Mm. And so the way he throws the discus and the shot put, can you imagine that being a stiff arm? And then the most important thing, he has this great vision for the field. And so I think it fits perfectly for running back. Harvey and I both agree. Mm.
Jordan Chris, a corner.
Yeah, Jordan's extremely quick and fast, but his length is something that I mean, a lot like Trey was for us last year. We think he's going to be something special. He's going to run track and be faster this year than he was last year. I think he's an underrated kid. I think this guy can really explode and be something special. And when we got to hang around with the family, you know, when you look at his parents and his grandfather and his uncle and the extended family, he committed on his trip, and they celebrated louder than anything I've ever heard. They were so excited
That's
about
awesome.
It and the excitement of being a Pro Bowl. This guy fits us, and he's going to do some amazing things for us.
Jacob Nye, a tight end from North Dallas.
Yeah, big, strong tight end, and look at his size, and he's going to join us later in the summer bridge program. And I mean, he's got everything that you want in a tight end. We've been able to have him over on some an official visit, but also unofficial, just being around him. And Coach Gilbride wanted him from the very beginning. He's also got a lot of the speed and quickness that you can go outside and play the receiver position just like he does here. And I think he's going to be extremely special for us.
And Landon Goff, a safety from Lone Peak.
Yeah, I think he's got, looking at the potential that he has, he's going to go on a mission first, but he's got length and he's got speed. He had a great senior year. We really liked what we saw from him. And Jay liked him, pegged him from the very beginning and wanted him wanted to see him perform this year, and he did exactly what Jay wanted.
Kalani Sitake is on BYU Sports Nation. Let's move the conversation to the eight other signees or transfers who announced as well. Keanu Tanuvasa, clear headliner there to help out the defensive front group that you really worked on to try and bolster up this offseason. But as a whole, how do you feel about the transfer class and the others that are involved in this class?
Yeah, I mean, they fit us perfectly. That's the key they can play football, but more importantly, the culture of the program is going to be an easy fit for them. And you talk about Keanu, he's one of the guys that came for culture, came for I believe, the right fit. And he's a dangerous person. Whenever you have a beast on the field, it helps you. So I think having him there, and we have connections that go way back. You know, I went to grade school with his dad, so this goes way back. He served his mission in my home ward.
No kidding.
And helped baptize my son, so there's a lot of connections there that we already have from before. I'm really excited about the next phase in life for him. He's getting married here in a couple months, you know, and I think this is going to be a great connection between his family and ours and what he can get done here at BYU. And then that fits. Look at everyone down the line. I mean, I think there's eight individuals.
Yeah.
There's a strong need for them and in this program, and that's in the leadership part. And I think when they stepped on it, most of them are here already. I think all of them are here on campus, and you see them interact with the players. They can't even tell them apart. They're already, joined and part of the family, and it's like they never were gone. It's like they were here the whole time.
Let's stay with the defensive lineman front here, because along with Keanu Tanuvasa, you have Tasili Akana, who comes over from Texas as a transfer. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Hunter Clegg, who had initially signed with Utah, but off the mission comes to BYU. And then you throw in Anisi Purcell, who was a guy that impressed you when you saw his film from Southern Utah. So as you look at the defensive front, what do you like about those four of the eight that are coming in to help there?
Well, I think Tausili is a guy that he's probably one of the best pass rushers you'll see. And I think when he comes in and at Texas, he's a little undersized, so they put him at inside backer. Then we're going to put him on outside. That's what his strengths are.
You're saying edge rusher?
Yeah, him and I think with Clegg, him and Clegg will give us something that with the replace Bagna and I think those guys will be able to get to the quarterback and just create some chaos. But they also they're gifted enough to drop in coverage if we need them. So there's a lot of cool things. I was just talking to defensive staff this morning and Jay's with them right now. I'm just figuring out what the best scheme would be for all these guys to compete, because they're coming in and joining a bunch of guys that can get after the quarterback too. So it's It's not like there's nothing there. We have guys like Asiata and others that are currently right there right now, and Logan Lutui and others that have experience. So, but these guys are going to do really good. I mean, Akano's already gained 10 pounds since he's been here, so obviously.
And that was one trip to Tucanos, which is crazy, right?
So obviously our nutrition works better in Utah Valley than it does in Austin, Texas, so we'll take it. But, you know, but that's probably my problem. I can't keep the weight off. But no, the guys are bought in and they're comfortable and they're having fun. But more importantly, they're really working hard. This team has a different mindset than even last year's, and I'm excited about it. But these guys are coming in are bringing in the same expectations and high standards that meet the guys that are currently on the program.
I do love Torchy's Tacos in Austin. It's pretty good, right? It's pretty good. Okay, let's talk about the schedule. It came out, the thing that pops the most is BYU-Utah October 18th. Do you want that game at the end of the season, or do you care where it is?
Well, I think everybody just assumed that it might be moved to the end of season. You know, you saw the energy that the Michigan and Ohio State game brought towards the end of the year, and for Michigan to win that game at Ohio State to go and win the national championship, that's just, stuff like that happens in a great rivalry game. So I don't make the schedules up. I just when they get released to us, we just got to make plans, and we have a bye week in week three, so we're gonna have to adjust to that. And when you're looking at the way it lays, you know, I think our sports scientists can make it work. So there's really not much that we haven't seen already. That just becomes a game that's in the middle of the year that we thought would be at the end, but that's okay. We just got to keep rolling and then make some adjustments with the intensity and the energy that comes into those games. I think you got to plan for all of that. So we will have a plan for it.
And there's a 7-week span where there's only two home games. You're going to have to really become road warriors during that time.
Yeah, and I think there's like there's a bye in.
Yeah, there's a bye as well.
Yes,
bye is home game too. So we'll be fine. I mean, you know, maybe we won't. Maybe everybody should just predict us to be way down in the bottom again.
Pick your 13th again.
Unfortunately, it's not going to happen, right? You're going to have to handle success.
I'm not worried about it. I think our guys. Yeah. I was worried on the turn, and the guys came with this different mindset in January. I think they saw what was close and attainable, and they see what you know the differences that we got to do to make up the difference. They kind of see what we got to get after. And we did some really hard work last year to get to this point, but that's not why we did it, just so that we can have 1 year. We got to build something and create momentum. And the way I see the guys taking to the offseason, it's been nice, man. It's going to be fun.
Before we let you go, we have to ask, because it's Super Bowl week, and one of your good friends, Andy Reid, is coaching in the Super Bowl again. I think I know the answer, but who are you pulling for this weekend in the Super Bowl?
Well, I have connections to books because I mean, Andy Reid, I consider him a mentor, and I love watching his creativity, and he's best coach in football. And then, but, you know, I'm excited for Kellen, too, on the other side. He's calling the plays and doing some really cool things.
Brother Moore is doing work.
Yeah, Brother Moore is doing some work there. So there's some good representation from our church in this game, you know. So I think I'll be happy for either one, but it's really hard to go against Andy and what he does. And I know a lot of people. You know, you're a good dynasty when people are sick of you winning.
They hate you.
Yeah. So
the refs are helping you guys.
Yeah. But I mean, they're a talented team, and you look at the way Andy's been able to adjust. Everyone says that coaching is a young man's game, but he's the youngest out of all of us. Then, if he's able to keep up with everybody and the relationships that he has with his players, that's something that I admire completely, because reminds me so much of Lavelle and the way he approaches this, how kind he is to people. And then he has he gets to drop the trilogies out there that everybody should go
Book
read
of Mormon, dude. Yeah. That was awesome.
So Pearl of Great Price. That interview was like, oh, I'm gonna check out this Pearl of Great Price.
So Cook of Moses is sweet,
Pearl
dude.
Of Great Price. Yes.
Yeah, he's doing a great job.
Facsimile 2 is awesome.
The fact that he's there and what he's been able to do in his career is amazing.
Coach, always great to have you in the studio. Congratulations on an incredible effort by you and your staff bringing in this recruiting class. Give you some karma for the offseason to get ready for spring ball. We'll talk again soon.
Appreciate it. Stay humble, stay hungry. Love you guys. Go Cougs.
Let's go. We'll wrap up today's show with our elite voice of the day. And who gets the right shout out? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated from CBP 12 Perkins on X, who says, in regard to BYU men's basketball, more important to avoid bad losses, a must, but BYU also needs a couple of wins over highly respected teams. Otherwise, the committee will say, who have they beaten? Well, they've beaten Baylor.
Yeah, they got plenty of chance.
Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Men's tennis team went through Scranton, Pennsylvania, stopped at a mural honoring the office, which is pretty cool. So shout-out to the Scranton homies. That's awesome.
I love it. Our thanks to today's guests, Kevin Young and Kalani Sitake.
Sorry, Dennis. No time.
For Jeremy, I'm Spencer. And a final shout-out to Bruce Brockbank. Go Cougs!